Now we invite you to take your Bible and turning to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 6. Reading verses. We're in the early church. There was a problem had arisen. And the answer to any problem in any church is spiritual men. And so the disciples brought the church together. And they had a congregational meeting and they told them to elect 7 men to oversee the problem that had arisen in the church. Acts chapter 6, and we're reading at verse 1. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, "It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look you out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. And they set them before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and Cyrenians, and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia, and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he speaks. And they suborned men, which said, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council. And they set up false witnesses, which said, "This man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us." And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Amen. And we know the Lord would bless the public reading of his holy, inspired, and inerrant word to all of our hearts. Once again, we invite you to take your Bible and turning to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 6. This is the chapter where we had been reading, where we read about the first Christian martyr. The first martyr. He was not the first martyr. The first martyr, of course, was Abel. Abel, the second boy that ever came into this world by natural generation. Cain was born, the eldest of the family, and he slew his own brother. Abel was the one that worshipped God on the grounds of shed blood. Sometimes we talk about apostates and so forth. An apostate is one who rejects the blood of the Lamb. If you want the definition of an apostate, you just turn over a few pages till you come to the Epistle of Jude. And there you will find summarized for us what an apostate is. He's one that rejects the blood of Christ. He's one that rejects the word of God. He's one that rejects the lordship of Christ. You'll find it there in Jude, verse 11. "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain." What did Cain do? He refused the Lamb. He refused the blood of the Lamb. And then you will note they have ran greedily after the heir of Balaam. What did Balaam do? He rejected the word of God. So an apostate is one who rejects the precious blood of the Lamb. An apostate is one who rejects the word of God. And you'll notice then, he's one that rejects the lordship of Christ. It mentions then, verse 11, Let's read the whole verse again. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. They have ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. Kor rejected Aaron, the priest, the high priest of Israel, and so an apostate is one who rejects the lordship of Christ. Cain rejected the blood. He thought he could worship by bringing his own gifts and what he could offer to God. Beloved, it's not what we can give to God, it is what God has given to us. Jesus Christ has died in our place. God has provided salvation for us. A Christian is one who's justified by faith alone in Christ alone. The Old Testament saints were saved the same way as you were saved, the same way as I am saved. They looked forward to the cross. Every offering that was made was a type, was a foreshadowing that one day God's Lamb would come. You remember reading about old Abraham? Abraham went up to the place of sacrifice. He had his boy with him. And Isaac said to Abraham, "Where is the lamb?" And Abraham said to Isaac, "God will provide himself a lamb." And my dear friends, what a day it was when that lamb came. And the ministry of John the Baptist was, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And so we are saved by looking back to the cross, saved by faith alone in Christ alone. And so we're looking at the Christian martyr, the one who was martyred for his faith. And I think there are lessons for us to learn as we think of the qualities and the life of this young man. It's my earnest prayer that those qualities, those characteristics be evident in the life of every believer. And as we look at them this morning, it's my earnest prayer that God the Holy Spirit will so move upon our hearts and our minds that our minds will be open to receive these things, that we'll have submissive wills to obey the Lord, we'll walk in the pathway of obedience, and God's word will be blessed to our hearts. And a result of our gathering here this morning, we will have a new determination to live for the Lord. We leave God's house with a new thrust of serving the Lord and witnessing, with a new love for the lost, or reaching out to the ungodly. Men and women are hurting out there, and they're looking to God's people. They're looking for reality. They're looking to hear and learn of something that would be a great help to them as they travel the journey of life. May it please the Lord to come near to us today and give us his help, give us his power, and give us his blessing. In the New Testament church, God was blessing. Precious souls were being saved. The work was growing. The work was increasing. The Apostle Peter preached, and in his first sermon, there were 3,000 souls saved. They came into fellowship. They went on with the Lord. They continued in the apostles' doctrine. They were at the prayer meeting. They were at the Lord's table. They just loved the Lord and they worshiped the Lord. And God added to the church daily such as should be saved. It was a tremendous time of blessing. But the devil is so subtle. When you get blessing, you can be dead on sure that you'll get opposition. And as the work was growing, as God was blessing his church, there arose a problem among the widows. There was no welfare state. The church provided for the widow. The church provided for their own. There were two groups of widows there mentioned in verse 1. There was those that spoke the Hebrew language, there were those that spoke the Greek language, and there was those who felt that they were neglected, they were being bypassed. There was the thought there that some were favoritism was being shown to them. And so this problem developed. And the apostles brought the congregation together. They had a congregational meeting, and they said the way to resolve this problem is to appoint 7 men who will oversee this particular business. Now, there are only 2 offices in the church, the office of elder and the office of deacon. It is the elder's responsibility to see to the well spiritual being of the congregation. It is the task of the minister, the task of the elder, to see to the spiritual well being of the congregation. It is the task of the deacon or committee man, as we have them, to see to the material well-being of the church. And both elder and deacon, they are to be men of God, men who are saved by the grace of God, men who are full of the Holy Spirit, men of wisdom. And those characteristics ought to be evident in every Christian, but particularly in those who are in leadership. And so we notice at this first congregational meeting, the qualifications were set out for the deacon. Verse 3, Acts 6, verse 3, "Wherefore, brethren, look you out among you seven men of honest report." They felt that seven was required to meet the particular need, so that was why the seven were chosen. "Wherefore, brethren, look you out among you seven men of honest report." You need men of honesty who are going to handle the money, handle the material well-being of the church. You notice they had to be saved men. They had to be full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Notice the work must go forward. There must be prayer and there must be preaching. We need to pray for our ministers. We need to be faithful in the place of prayer. Notice that the apostle said, "We will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." We want to see God's work go forth. We want to see God's blessing upon it. And sometimes we have the idea, if we have bring along a gifted evangelist and we get him to preach and we have a good soloist and so forth. My dear friends, those things have a particular place, but there are no substitute for prayer. Notice here, preaching and prayer go hand in hand together. Notice what they said, "We will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And so they had their congregational meeting. They elected seven men, and the first man to be chosen was Stephen. Now we want to share with you, and we trust it'll be a blessing to your heart as we look at the qualities and the characteristics of the young man Stephen. I want you to notice, first of all, that it was that he was full of faith. Notice what it says at verse 8, "And Stephen, full of faith." My dear friends, if we're going to see anything done for the Lord, if we're going to see God's work been blessed, we must have faith. If there's going to be blessing in our church, blessing in our homes, we need to have faith. Stephen was full of faith. Could I suggest to you, first of all, that Stephen had accepting faith. There was a time when he exercised faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the men of the Bible were just men like us. They were men subject to like passions as we are. Stephen needed to be saved. And in order to be saved, he had to have faith. That's how you were saved. Saved by faith. Stephen here had accepting faith. There was a time in Stephen's life when he accepted the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. He realized he was a sinner. He knew he was a sinner. He came under conviction of sin. And in order to be saved, he had to exercise faith in Christ. How are we saved? Do you remember the question that the Philippian jailer put to Paul and Silas? "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, the word "believe" and the word "receive" are interchangeable. Do you remember reading in John's Gospel that the Lord Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. So a Christian is one who has been convicted of his sin. He has come to exercise faith in Christ. He has turned from his sin. He has accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. Now, before I go any further this morning, and without any apology, I want to ask you, I pray the Holy Spirit will bring it home to your heart. Am I looking at men and women who have exercised faith in Christ? Was there a time, was there a place when you trusted Jesus Christ? Maybe it was at a gospel mission. Maybe it was at your bedside. But in order to be in heaven, in order to enter in through the pearl-hung gates, you personally must have faith in Christ. Stephen was full of faith. Number one, he had saving faith. He had accepting faith. For me, it was in the last Sunday of June 1953. Young man leaving school, going out into this world, thinking all that the world had to offer. But I had a faithful Bible class teacher, an old man who loved the Lord, who loved his class. And he said, "Austin, what you're looking for is not found out there in the pub, It's not found out there in pleasure. It's not found out there with people. It's found in the person of the Lord Jesus. And he went on to speak to us and speak to the class and speak to me personally about the Savior who had come that we might have life and we might have it more abundantly. That's what I wanted. That's what every young person wants. They really want life, and life with a capital L is found in Christ and in Christ alone. And in order to have it, you personally must have faith in Christ. There must be accepting faith. There must be that saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, before I move on, let me put it to you again, even at the expense of repetition, as we gather here in this class or this church this morning, and others who may be listening on the World Wide Web, that may the Holy Spirit bring this home to your heart. The challenge now is that you must be saved. And in order to be saved, you must have a personal faith in Jesus Christ. The young man that we're looking at, the man who was the first, that Christian martyr who was martyred for his faith, was full of faith. He had accepting faith. But Stephen not only had accepting faith, you'll notice, dear friends, that he had achieving faith. He saw things done for God. Did you notice verse 8, Acts 6, verse 8? And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. You see, he had achieving faith. The Bible tells us, and the Savior tells us, according to your faith be it unto you. How we need to really trust the Lord Jesus. We want blessing in our homes. We need to pray. We want blessing in our church. We need to pray, yes. But we need to believe that God hears and answers prayer. Things are achieved in prayer. But in order to have answers to our prayers, we must believe in the Lord. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Yes, those are the promises, but we must believe the promises. We must accept the promises. We must step out on the promise in order to see things done for the Lord. How we need to pray for our students who are going on outreach this week. How we need to pray for gospel missions. We need to pray for the Lord's servants. Our missionaries need prayer. But we need to believe on their behalf that God will answer prayer, that God will send a blessing. Stephen was full of faith. Number one, he had accepting faith. He had achieving faith. But beloved, I would suggest to you that Stephen had attractive faith. There was something about Stephen that was different from others. You will see that he was arrested here, he was brought before the Sanhedrin. 70 learned men were scrutinizing him. They were looking at him. But what a change and what a difference there was where he was concerned. The scripture tells us in verse 15, and all that sat in the council looking steadfastly on him, they were looking on Stephen, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. You see, his faith was reflected in his very appearance. You know, Christians should be the happiest people on earth. Do you know what the Bible tells us? The Savior says, rejoice that your name is written in heaven. Doesn't mean we're to go about happy-clappy the way some do. But their problems come, difficulties come. But nevertheless, there's that inner joy. How we ought to rejoice that our names are written in heaven. We ought to rejoice that our past has been blotted out, that Christ is with us in the present. And what a prospect. Heaven is our home. Oh, the wonder of it. The prepared place for a prepared people. And you and I are journeying to that wonderful place. As we journey there, men and women ought to take knowledge of us that we have been with Jesus. Our faith should be practical. Our faith should be reflected to others. This Sanhedrin, this council that met there, as they looked on Stephen, they saw him, his very face was bright and shining. Now, what is an angel's face like? I have never seen an angel. I know there are those that claim to have seen angels, but that's not what the scripture teaches. Stephen's face looked like an angel's face. An angel's face would be bright. An angel's face would be intelligent. There would be something of the glory of Jesus about the angel. And that's how it ought to be with God's people. We should be bright. We should be just rejoicing. And men and women should, when they meet us, they should say without any hesitation, there's a man, there's a woman who belongs to Jesus Christ. We live in a day and age, unfortunately, I say unfortunately, that it is so difficult to tell a man and a woman who's saved from those who are unsaved. Our appearance should be different. Our demeanor should be different. There should be something different about the Christian. You know what the Bible says? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. All things are become new. When I grew up as a young Christian, life was different. Nobody told us not to go to the picture house or go to the theater. We knew not to go. We didn't want to go. Those who were with us had turned away from those things. They were walking with the Lord. There was something different about a Christian. We had our faith in Christ. Stephen here was full of faith. Oh, how we need men and women of faith in the free church in this age in which we live. May God so bless us today that we will strive to be men and women of faith. You say, I haven't got faith. Faith is small. Faith is a grain of mustard seed, the Savior taught. I need faith. Where can I obtain faith? Where can I get faith from? The book. That's right. Maybe you'd like the reference for it. Just turn over to the Epistle to the Romans and notice what's recorded for us down in that chapter 9. Romans 9. And look what it tells us down the chapter there. Chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I say to you today, without any hesitation, as you leave this house, you should be stronger in your faith. And when you come in, we have read the word of God together. And now as God gives me help, we're ministering the word to you. As a result of that, our faith should be stronger. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How we ought to pray, Lord, increase my faith. And as God will answer that prayer, as we meditate upon his precious word, Stephen was full of faith. But then you'll notice not only was Stephen full of faith, but he was full of the Holy Ghost. This was one of the requirements, one of the necessities for holding office. Acts 6 verse 3, wherefore, brethren, look you out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost. And look at verse 5. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Stephen was full of the Holy Ghost. Turn over a couple of pages till you come to Acts chapter 7. And notice what's recorded for us there in Acts chapter 7. And notice what it says there at Stephen is speaking, and it speaks there to us in verse 55. And he, that Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost. There we have it in black and white, that Stephen, this first deacon of the church, was full of the Holy Ghost. Brother and sister, that's a great requirement. We need to be men and women who are full of the Holy Ghost. Let me say to you two things very quickly. That Stephen was indwelt by the Holy Ghost. You cannot be a Christian. You cannot be a believer. You cannot be the redeemed of the Lord unless you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Do you remember Paul writing to the church at Corinth? And I think, beloved, in this worldly age in which we live in, Christians should lay these words to heart. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And he says at verse 19, what know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God? Ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Notice that your body, young man, young woman, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Now, it is absolutely essential that we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. It's recorded for us in the Epistle to the Romans. And there we learn in Romans that necessity of being indwelt by the Spirit. Romans chapter 8, that's a great chapter on the work and person of the Holy Spirit. It says in chapter 8, Romans 8 verse 9, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you." Now mark it. "Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." See, sometimes we're content if a person puts up their hand in a meeting, signs a decision card, makes a profession of faith. The essential is being indwelt by the Holy Spirit. There's the Apostle Paul writing with the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, says, "If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." Men and women, we need to have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I say to you thoughtfully, prayerfully, that if we are not indwelt by the Spirit, we will never enter heaven. Stephen was indwelt by the Spirit. But you notice the Scripture says he was full of the Holy Spirit. Not only was he indwelt by the Spirit, but he was infilled by the Spirit. Beloved, that's essential. We need that. How can we be infilled with the Holy Spirit? At the moment of conversion, the Holy Spirit come into us. We receive Jesus Christ. We're indwelt by the Spirit. But how can we be infilled by the Spirit? The same way as the disciples were in the upper room. The Lord Jesus told them to tarry until they were endued with power from on high. And in Acts chapter 1, they met in the upper room. The leaders of the work were there. The people were there. The mother of Jesus were there. And they waited and they prayed. We are infilled by the Holy Spirit in answer to prayer. Do you remember what the Lord Jesus said? One day the disciples asked the Savior to teach them to pray. And he taught them how to pray. In Luke's Gospel chapter 11. And then notice what it tells us in this chapter. Luke 11 and verse 13. "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask him?" I need to be infilled with the Holy Spirit. We can't labor in the flesh. We can't witness without the help of the Holy Spirit. We can't pray without the infilling of the Holy Spirit. How can we be filled with the Holy Spirit? By asking. Ask our Father in heaven, "Lord, fill us with thy Spirit." But not only pray and seeking the Lord, we have got to be walking the pathway of obedience. It's recorded for us in Acts chapter 5 and verse 32. "And ye are his witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him." Stephen was one who had sought the Lord. He had sought the power of the Lord. He had sought the anointing of the Lord. He sought the infilling of the Lord. He walked the pathway of obedience. And the Holy Ghost tells us in our Bible that Stephen was full of the Holy Ghost. Oh, may it please the Lord to make us men and women of faith and men and women of the Holy Ghost. But you notice another great characteristic was not only being full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost, but was being full of wisdom. Look again at Acts chapter 6 and the qualifications that were essential to be a deacon. "Wherefore, brethren, look out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom." Then look at verse 10. "And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the Spirit by which he spake." Brother and sister, this man was full of wisdom. He had a task to do. He was to oversee a problem that had arisen in the church. He had to be a man of faith. Yes, a man full of the Holy Ghost, but he needed wisdom. And beloved, if there ever was a day and age when men and women need wisdom, it's this age. The housewife needs wisdom. The farmer needs wisdom. The businessman needs wisdom. We need wisdom in the work of God. The Sunday school teacher needs wisdom. The missionary needs wisdom. The minister needs wisdom. We all need wisdom. We need to be as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. Could I say to you very quickly, that Stephen had inspired wisdom. When you go home today, you just read through chapter 7. Stephen here, giving an account of himself and speaking in defense of himself, began with Abraham. And he took that Sanhedrin council all the way through the Old Testament. And he brought them right up to the cross. And he said to them, "Ye are the murderers of the just one. Ye resist the Holy Ghost, even so did your fathers, and so do you." And so he brought them right up from Abraham's time right through the Old Testament, right up to the cross. You see, this man, Stephen, knew the book. And brother and sister, we need to know the book. We need inspired wisdom. We need to know what the Bible says. This is an age when we certainly need to know the clear precepts of God's word. We need to know the commandments of God. We need to practice what the Bible teaches. Stephen had inspired wisdom. But you notice there, he had irresistible wisdom. These men, with all their learning, and they were experts in the law, they had set up false witnesses against them. This man had irresistible wisdom. They couldn't resist the child of God because he was full of wisdom. Beloved, you and I need wisdom in every walk of life. Where can we get wisdom from? From our Heavenly Father. Oh, you remember what he tells us in first chapter of James, James chapter 1. And I'm taking the time to give you the references so you'll have it before you. James 1. And James is the brother of the Lord Jesus. And he tells us in the first chapter where we get wisdom. James 1 and verse 4. "But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask." Let him pray. Let him ask of God, "that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not. And it shall be given unto him." Beloved, every day I ask God for wisdom. We need wisdom as we move in and out among the people. Isn't it so easy to give an offense? So easy to say the wrong thing? I tell you that we need wisdom. And hallelujah, wisdom is available. Where can I get it? From my Heavenly Father. Ask and ye shall receive. Oh, may the Lord make us men and women of wisdom. We don't want to be foolish in this age in which we live. We want to be wise. Stephen was full of faith. He was full of the Holy Ghost. He was full of wisdom. And one last thought and I'm through. Stephen was full of power. Notice what's recorded for us here. We read Acts 6. We sought to bring your attention again and again to verse 8. "And Stephen, full of faith and power." Stephen, full of power. Let me show you three areas where Stephen displayed this power. First of all, he had power in his preaching. He was addressing these learned men. He brought them right up to the cross. You see, Stephen brought the message to them. He applied the message to them. And as a result of his message, there was a result. The congregation that listened to Stephen that day were mad. You see, we live in a day and age when people come to the church, they hear a message and they go out, "Thank you very much, sir. That was a nice message this morning." My dear friends, our message should produce result. People should go out either glad or go out mad. Those that Stephen ministered to were mad. He brought them right up to the cross. And it says in verse 54, "And when they heard these things, they were cut in the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. And he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looks up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God." Notice, he had power in his preaching. His preaching produced a result. Beloved, that's how our preaching ought to do. It ought to produce a result. We preach that God's people will be edified. We preach in order that men and women be enlisted for Christ, in order that men and women would grow and develop in the faith. You see, Stephen was full of power. I say to the congregation without any hesitation, you need to pray for your pastor. How blessed you are in Mockrafelt to have a man who loves you, a man who loves souls, a man who loves the people of God. But he needs power, and he needs his people to be supportive of him and behind him in the place of prayer. Stephen was full of power. May it please our Father in heaven to anoint our preachers with old-time power and old-time blessing. Oh, the tide has gone out, but praise God, it'll come in again. There shall be showers of blessing. Oh, we can rejoice that God will revive us again. Jesus is coming back, beloved. He's not coming back for a backslidden church. He's not coming back for a blushing bride. He's coming back for a bride that's radiant, for a church that's burning bright, for the return of the heavenly bridegroom. Stephen had power in his preaching. Let me tell you in the second place that Stephen had power in his persecution. He was about to be martyred. He was about to be stoned. But oh, what power he had in his preaching. Notice there in those verses in Acts chapter 7, 55 and 56 that he turns his eyes away from the accusers. He looks up into heaven. He sees Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Surely Jesus is seated. Yes, he has the work completed. The work of redemption. But here's the Christian martyr. I don't think we're reading too much into it to say that Jesus welcomes every saint home. Beloved, I believe that with all my heart. When your time comes to leave this scene of time and you move into the nearer presence of your Lord, Jesus will welcome you to his Father's house, the place prepared for his people. Notice here, Stephen, he has power in his persecution. It says in verse 57, then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord, cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord, receive my spirit. You see it clearly, beloved. Stephen had power in his persecution. My dear friends, there's always been persecution. There's parts of the world where they do not have religious liberty and freedom as we do. And I think in this country we have become so accustomed to it that we just take our religious liberty and freedom for granted. It'll not always be that way. Things are changing rapidly. There are people today who are suffering for their faith. One day suffering will come to this country. There'll be the great tribulation. And what a time it will be, a time of Jacob's suffering, unparalleled suffering. My dear friends, persecution will come. We need to pray for those who have been persecuted at this time. We ought to thank God every day for the religious liberty and the freedom which God has given to us. Stephen had power in his preaching, power in his persecution. He had power in his praying. Stephen, he died like my Lord. He died a champion. Verse 60. Acts 7, verse 60. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Remember how our Lord died? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Stephen said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. That prayer was answered at least for one man, for Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus became the greatest missionary the world has ever had, the greatest church planter. The one who has contributed so much, humanly speaking, to our very Bible, the epistles that he penned. Stephen had power in prayer. And beloved, that's what we need as God's people. We need power in prayer. Oh, may it please the Lord to visit the Free Church again with old-time power and old-time blessing. May the Lord bless all our congregations and bless this congregation. And may those characteristics that we have listed this morning be evident in all of our lives. May we be men and women full of faith, full of the Holy Ghost, full of wisdom, and full of power, all the while bringing glory to our Lord and to our Master. May God bless you. May he make you a blessing one to the other, and a blessing to those that you come in contact with. Let's bow together.